Now, with that in mind, let's come to chapter 1 here. And you will find in this chapter here that there are 9 of the 12 tribes mentioned, and they're all mentioned in their failure. And the 3 that are not mentioned are Reuben, Issachar, and Gad, and I assume that they likewise fail. Each tribe faced a particular enemy, and at no time was the entire nation engaged in a warfare against any particular enemy. You see, the weakness of the tribes is revealed from the very word go. Now, notice this. We are told that at first here, they asked the Lord what they were to do and who'll go for them against the Canaanites. Now, the Canaanites were well entrenched in that land. They hadn't been driven out, and they were a thorn in the side of Israel during the reign of Saul and during the reign of David. Now, will you notice, as we read on here in verse 2, "And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." In view of the fact that the Canaanite nation, for the most part, was in the land allotted to Judah and to the one that became his sidekick, if you please, Simeon. And we're told in verse 3 something that reveals the innate weakness of this nation and of the tribes. Listen at verse 3. "And Judah said unto Simeon his brother, Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with him." Now, you say, well, how is that a sign of weakness? It looks like a fine sign of cooperation. Well, that part I'll agree with. But it was real weakness, very frankly, for Judah to ask another tribe to help them drive out the Canaanites in their own particular land. They should have been able to do it themselves and should have gone out to do it themselves. And as a result, why, they never were totally driven out. We find in verse 4, "And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites, the Perizzites, into their hand, and they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men." Now you would think that after this first step, that the people in Judah would be now confident and that God would deliver it into their hands. Now we're told in verse 9, though, "And afterward the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountain and in the south and in the valley, and Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron." Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba. "And they slew Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai. And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sepher." That means it was a city of books, by the way. It was the library. "And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath Sepher and taketh it to him will I give Aksah, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Aksah, his daughter, to wife." Now, somebody's going to say, well, you've made the statement, there's a weakness in each one of the judges. It looks like Othniel does pretty well. Now, very frankly, Othniel is the best of the judges, in my judgment. But there is this sign of weakness. Why was he chosen here as the judge at this particular time? Why was he the one? Well, he was the son-in-law of Caleb, and you have this awful thing here of nepotism. You have this business of it's in the family, and if he hadn't been the son-in-law of Caleb, Caleb was well-known. He was one of the 2 men that came out of Egypt that entered the land. He and Joshua, he was probably known just about as well as Joshua was known. And very candidly, Othniel would never have got the position as a judge if he hadn't been the son-in-law of Caleb. If he'd been the son-in-law of Joe Doakes, he wouldn't have been elected a judge, never been chosen for that. That's quite interesting, you see. How many men today occupy a position not because of the ability that they have or because of the fact that they have the capability, but simply because of a position that might be due to a relationship or to a circumstance? You know, Napoleon actually was called a man of destiny, and he very frankly said that you not only have to have the man, but you have to have the point in history. In other words, if Napoleon had lived 50 years ago, even today, nobody had ever heard of him. It takes the man and the circumstance. And Othniel is a judge. Why is he a judge? Well, because his father-in-law happens to be Caleb, and that's the way that he came into this position. Now you have, in this chapter 1, 9 of the 12 tribes that are mentioned, and they're all mentioned in connection with failure. Verse 21, now we've had Judah and Simeon. Here's little Benjamin. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwelt with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem under this day. That is the day that Judges was written. And we find that it was something that persisted in each one of the tribes. By the way, we find in verse 27, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth-shean. Verse 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. Verse 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. Verse 31, neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko. And then verse 33, neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-shemesh. And verse 34, and the Amorites forth the children of Dan into the mountains, they had not suffer them to come down into the valley. And they chased Dan up into the hill country up there. May I say to you, friends, they are in the promised land. God has given it to them. But not one tribe apparently was able to lay hold of the land that God had given unto them. And what a tragic thing that it was.